and want to uplift in yourself. And I guess that the reason why I asked about femininity is that, you know, the kind of like dark scene in Vancouver is very male dominated. And so as like somebody who is like, I guess, presents or is perceived as femme, like how has it been for you to be moving within the space and trying to find your footing in the past 2 years? I mean, you mentioned a little bit about how like one of your members is in a band and then kind of flip swap between the two. So maybe you have experience of like what it's like to be perceived, and also how do you get on bills? Like how does this whole experience work for somebody who doesn't really know the Vancouver scene too well?
So when it comes to getting on bills or lineups or creating shows, like it always stems back to the very simple concept of like relationship building. So, relationship build and be curious about other artists. And really when it comes to music, artists really do help each other build opportunities. And so it's through creating a community, a network of other musicians and artists. And that's how, you know, you get on bills. And at the beginning, especially when you're emerging, a lot of times you have to create the shows yourself and then ask other artists to join the lineup with you. So, but eventually with time, you know, you'll be invited to more lineups and bills and other opportunities. And and then when it comes to how the music scene is, you know, male dominant in general, no matter if it's like goth or indie or whatever, honestly, I kind of, you know, I always laugh about like how I enter a lot of spaces with like a very, very American attitude. I just kind of like, I'm like, well, I am here, and I don't know. Like, I just kind of, I don't really internalize it that much. And yeah, there is a lot of like mansplaining sometimes, and, you know, having to gently, like, you know, set your own boundaries. And also you have to be very unapologetic to take up space as well, because I feel, you know, taking up space, like, you know, as a woman is kind of uncomfortable and sometimes frowned upon. So in a lot of spaces that are mostly made of, you know, men, you kind of just have to take up space and be okay with it. And be boundaried, be straightforward, be confident, own the room. And sometimes people may not like it that you're owning the room. That's okay. So I think that's how I've navigated being in mostly predominantly male spaces. I owned a room, and I act that I belong there too. And then I don't know. That's pretty much how I handle a lot of things in my life anyways. And then when it comes to, what else did you ask? I forgot.
No, that was mostly, yeah, that was pretty much the two, how does it feel to like me be an artist in the community, but also, you know, how does it logistically work for some of the listeners that might be curious. I feel like that's a really nice mentality to have, I think, in yourself, owning the room, right? A mentality that I like to have too is like, you have to be in the room. I think that's what a lot of people maybe find to be the hardest part, right? Like, it's easy to talk about the room and, you know, when you're in it, you know, like you have to make your space for it, but sometimes it's hard to just even walk in there, right? And to be in the room is to actually in some ways be a part of something greater than yourself. How did it feel for you to walk into Vancouver and just in general, like the music scene, after, you know, being maybe ruminating about making music for a long time and in the creative processes, like how did it feel for you to actually like open that door and like step into the room and really claim your space? And then also, you know, once you open the door, you got to stay in the room, you got to decorate the place, right? Like, I'm curious on how that felt for you.
Yeah, so I've mostly been a painter, like in the visual arts, for the past 10 close to a long time. I've been painting since I was like six, so it's pretty much all of my life. And then being like a practicing artist, it's 10 years now. So then now, like, seriously going into music and the business behind music and being in music scenes now, and in Vancouver, honestly, I kind of, you know, I walked into it like blindly. It's like, okay, this is a Pandora's box. Like, I haven't navigated the music scene like this before, only the visual arts world like this. And anything can happen. I can, you know, flop, or I can do very well, or I connect with some organizers that it can go well or go poorly. I may do a show, people may not get it, some people may get it, so anything can happen. I think right now, it's really just been a journey of finding the right audience, connecting with other, you know, musicians and artists similar to our approach as well. And honestly, the experience has been very, very adventurous. Like, I've been having a great time. Of course, there's some, you know, difficult moments, as always, but I feel like when something does click and fall into place, it feels so rewarding at the same time. So it's like when you're new to a scene and when you're new to developing a practice, there's going to be a lot of, you know, hiccups, I feel. So I think so far, it's truly just having to embrace the fact that anything can happen and not being so strung, like not being so strung out on perfect outcomes, and being okay that it will unravel the way it needs to unravel, and being okay that some people may get it and some people won't, and that's okay. And yeah, so it's a lot of trial and error, but at the same time, it feels wonderful because you do see yourself growing into your lane and then building relationships with other musicians that are pretty much like you. So yeah, it's an adventure, and having to be very okay with the fact that you cannot control every single outcome. So yeah,
that's so true. And I think that that lesson is for anyone doing anything in life, right? Like, you have a certain path or vision of that path, and then, you know, other people can walk around it, or, you know, not even see that there's a path there. You're like, come on, gotta walk through there. But I as somebody who has watched your performance and who is very excited to continue watching your performances, I can say that the people that it does resonate with, those are the people that matter, you know, and that works for everything, right? Like, I believe deeply that art is the liberation for our future. And I think your story behind The Veil of the Machines is so poignant for that too. It's, we're trying to get out of outer space and back onto Earth, right? We're trying to hold each other and to feel the earth on our feet and to ground ourselves in that beauty. And that takes a lot. And music is what can make you feel just that much. It's been such a great time talking with you, and I really want to give these listeners an opportunity to hear you live as well. So if you would want to express maybe the next show that you have coming up, and maybe explain a little bit about what they could be in store for, and, you know, for those who've never listened to Vidéo, like, what does it sound like, and what can they expect, and maybe what should they go listen to now, you know, just to get prepared for it all. Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah, so what comes next? So right now we are preparing for our next show on October 16th at the Hargrove. And it is our EP release show as well with Elisa Thorne, who is a local harpist as well. And the EP's name is Prologue, and it will be the first three compositions that we worked on as a band. And that's to be expected soon. And then the whole soundscape of Vidéo, it's very orchestral, sometimes long numbers, and a little bit theatrical as well. I like to take some theatrical elements, and it's ethereal and it's dark, experimental, and expect a lot of strings as well, like a lot of violins. And that's pretty much the whole soundscape of Vito. And and then what's to come, we shall see.
That's great. And I'm so excited for this show, and I'm so excited to listen. And I know that you have some music on Bandcamp right now. Is that right? Is it just Vito on Bandcamp? Or what's, give us.
Yeah, so you can access Vito on pretty much all streaming platforms. So within a week, Vito can be found on YouTube Music, Spotify, Apple Music as well, and Tidal, and Deezer, I believe. So, so right now we do have one single that's available on Bandcamp called Waning Skin the Third, which is our debut single. And then within a week, you'll be able to access Time Collapse, our second single, on Bandcamp and all streaming services as well.
So exciting. I'm so excited, and I'm so grateful to have had you here. And I'm so very aware, I think, of the importance of having more creative femmes in the space, and for bringing, I think, a new twist onto whatever genres that we've become maybe so accustomed to, right? It's nice to have some freshness. It's nice to have some live instruments. You know, I feel like we're living in a very electronic, digital, beep boop bop boop age, and having strings in the room, having the omnicord in the room, having the bass, of course. And I guess I want to just end it off with what really drew you to the omnicord. I'm curious on that connection that you have with it, and maybe if you have anything to leave as well for the audience on why it's important to just pick up an instrument, regardless of, you know, the history behind it. Because the omnicord itself is I would say, like, it was marketed as like a basic instrument, maybe like towards a lot of like people that maybe weren't very aware of music as much, technically. Like, I know you're classically trained, but it's a really interesting, I think, starting point. So maybe we can end off with that, a little tidbit for our audience.
Yeah, so the omnicord. So I came across the omnicord when I was honestly scrolling on TikTok, and I saw someone with it, and I was like, what is that? So, and then I went into this rabbit hole of omnicords and what was it, and I saw that you can do so many things with it. You can connect some guitar pedals to it, you can distort the sound. Like, it's truly so infinite, the omnicord. And plus, coming from a world where I've never picked up an electronic instrument, I was like, okay, like I think this will be a fun instrument to use to explore synthesizers. So it's definitely an intro to synths. And and I also love the sound of it. It sounds like an analog video game sometimes, so it's very like retro sounding, and I love how it sounds with different guitar pedals. So I was very drawn by the quirky sound of it, and I just thought, how cool would it be if I mixed this with like more orchestral elements? So it was pretty much stumbling upon this funky instrument I've never seen, and now I'm making it a goal for myself to collect other quirky instruments like the omnicord and play around with it and see how I can incorporate it to like classical music as well. So, yeah.
That's awesome. Right. That's awesome. Thank you so much for exploring a little bit more of that. And thank you for being here today. I hope that you have a great rest of your day, listener, and that you can tune in again at Intravenous every Wednesday for all things femme. Thank you.
Hey, do you want to make a real impact in the Black community? Join us where we connect you with Black-led organizations from all around the world. Get ready to get involved. Find the organization based on the location of interest. Follow us at supportblackcharities.org.
The Canadian Human Trafficking Hotline is now live to help victims and survivors get vital social and emergency services. If you need help or want to help stop human trafficking, call 1-833-900-1010. The Canadian Human Trafficking Hotline is now live to help victims and survivors get vital social and emergency services. If you need help or want to help stop human trafficking, call 1-833-900-1010.
Hello, 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 and welcome back to Intravenous. You've been tuned into CJSF 90.1 FM in Burnaby, broadcasting from the unceded Coast Salish territories. And before the break, we heard our volunteer journalist, Zarina, interview Vancouver band Vido, who has a show coming up in October. I am going to include ways to connect with them in the show notes today. And if you are near your phone, you can head over to their Instagram page, which is at v.vidot.v. Now, next up, I have a short clip that was produced by our summer community outreach team, Stella and Hallelujah, to share. The interviews were recorded last month at the Normie Corp's Hard Candy event, which was a Pride Sunday warehouse rave held on August 2nd in Vancouver. They talk about corporate pride and what pride means to the rave goers. Let's take a listen.
Pride means fun, it means sexiness, it means identity without limits, and it also means getting to have fun without having straight people get in your way. Yes, this is the truth.
I think pride is the expression of amazing looks, amazing music, and I think just an appreciation for the queer scene and the underground queer scene especially.
Pride is all about embracing who you are and like inspiring others to do the same. And yeah, I think that's all I have to say on that.
Pride is just like the ultimate celebration for all the queers, you know, and just existing in that identity, I guess. And everyone can just dress up and look cute and drink and dance and, you know, all the things.
Corporate pride is, one, really saturated, but secondly,
thank you.
Secondly, it's hard for it to be inclusive to people of color and for women of color, because corporate, like capitalist systems in general, rely on people being subservient to, you know, kind of like a big capitalist white majority. And so a lot of those marginalized voices don't get heard in corporate pride, but I feel like there's a difference between that and getting to express yourself fully with your identity and also all the marginalities you have with, you know, actual pride. I have witnessed corporate pride. I've been part of it. I've worked and been an intern at many different jobs that want to include it. But at the end of the day, it's not just about inclusivity. It's about making sure that you actually make those voices heard. And I feel like that is done more often outside of corporate pride.
The community ones are always more lit. And like, as you can hear around me, there's like hella people here. And yeah, it's just always a fun time. And I feel like the corporate side, like, I don't know, I feel like everybody's going to make money off of Pride, so I'd rather it be going to the underground people that are going to keep venues alive than a lot of the corporate stuff that's going on. But at the same time, I think, yeah, like, I think better rates all around. We just need better rates all around. It's a really dark time for rates for artists, I feel like.
I went to corporate Pride for the first time in, like, 2 or 3 years with my, like, new partner, and I was like, damn, I kind of hate this. Sorry. I just, like, it's so corporate. Like, I saw a Liberal Party of Canada show up there, and I was like, are you fucking kidding me? I saw all, like, the corporations or, like, political or, like, whatever, like, show up, and I was just like, damn, you pretend to stand with us, and, like, you still profit off of us and like don't really stand with us. Like if it really came down to it, like you guys wouldn't stand with us. It's easy right now. So you'll get the money, you'll get the merch, you'll get the goodies to give out. But like, you know, I don't know. It just doesn't really feel real. At all. Yeah, and I feel like the gay people that work at those places, like I don't know, are like kind of complicit or like by attending the pride, but I attended the pride, so like what do I have to say about that? You know, like I don't know. It's just like complicated.
I feel like it's so important because as is in Vancouver, generally spaces are just hard to find, and you know, it's very like gentrified, and so the fact that we do have like a underground kind of spot which is big enough for a lot of people to be in at the same time and like, you know, be in community and talk and have the chance to just exist, it's blessed because we don't have much of that in the city, so it's nice to, you know, be in a space where you can do that.
If you're a regular listener of this show or other shows on CJSF, we'd love to hear from you. Tell us about what you like and why you like it, as well as ways we can improve our programming. To leave comments, please email cjsfprog@sfu.ca or call 778-782-4423. This information can also be found on our website at www.cjsf.ca.
Who doesn't love music? Join the weekly discussion at the CJSF Record Club with other music aficionados checking out new releases and forgotten classics, exploring and learning about genres and loving music. Every Thursday at CJSF Burnaby from 4 p.m. till 5 p.m. Listen, learn, and share.
And welcome, welcome, welcome back to Intravenous. Just like that, we are officially at the end of the show. Tomorrow, our programming coordinator, Jesse, will be sharing some interesting stories and probably some sweet music as well. And up next is Democracy Now. But to play us out, I do have a song from Vancouver band Vido, who we heard at the top of the show. This is their debut single, Waning Skin the Third. Thanks for listening, and you know, welcome back next week. Thank you.
for us.